Turn with me to Esther chapter 3. Esther chapter 3. Esther chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 1 through 6. And the word of the Lord says, "After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman the son of Hammedatha the Agite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, Why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai." Preach this morning to kill the voice of the church. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your holy word. We thank you, Lord God, that we can come to your word and we find truth. We find the peace in that truth, that we hold on to that truth, that God, that you're sovereign over all, that your word tells us everything that we need to know. Every part of our lives, everything that's going on around us, God, if we come back to thy word, knowing that, God, that your voice would be heard. That, God, that we come here today, God, to take from your bosom, Lord God, the word of truth. Let that very word penetrate each and every heart and mind in this place. God, as we quieten ourselves and our spirit, God, that we would have ears to hear. And God, not only ears to hear, but also be doers of that very word that you spoke. And I'm asking, God, for strong conviction in this house. Lord, that you move upon each and every heart right now in this place. I pray that your Holy Spirit would go forth and do only what your word would say it would do. And God, it will not return void, but come forth with a mighty force and strength, God. I'm asking, God, that you move mightily, God, in this house. I'm asking, God, that everything else be set aside, that we bind those things that would come against our minds. We bind Satan in the name of Jesus, that name above every name. And I'm asking, God, that you give me the unction to preach this word that you've given, that's born in my heart all week long, Lord God, the wee hours of the morning and nights, God, that you've bore this word within me, God, that it would come forth in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And God, we thank you in Jesus' name. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. On the day of Pentecost, the church began. This very truth of the church that Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Jesus spoke of what was to come after he defeated hell, death, and the grave at the cross, when he said, "He that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That day when the 120 were gathered in the upper room in one accord, seeking God, the Holy Spirit filled them, and they spoke with other tongues, with power for the purpose to boldly profess this gospel to the world, to be effective witnesses to all that would hear. That commission has not changed, church. It has not changed. God still is equipping and sending those that will go to be bold and carry the word of God to all nations. We have read and continue to see this coming to pass. The very purpose of the gospel message is that all that would hear the truth of Jesus Christ, that none should perish but have everlasting life, that Jesus paid for. Isn't it something that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, paid for it? But if we do not take it within our bosom, we don't take it. It's paid for, but it's not been taken. All around you would see people that are lost, dying, and going to a real devil's hell because they haven't taken the truth. They haven't decided to make a decision for Jesus Christ. They haven't decided to repent, from turn from their wicked ways, and say, "Yes, Jesus, I accept and receive you for who you are, the Savior of the world." It's only Savior if you choose Him to be your Savior. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" It's more than just a preacher like this one behind the pulpit. It's more than like the preacher that you hear all over the radio or the TVs or in each and every church. We are those that are called by Christ are to preach the gospel. Each and every one of us in this room that are called by Christ's name, we have a purpose, and that is to spread the love of Jesus Christ. How will they hear if we do not speak? How will they know the Lord Jesus Christ if we, the church, are silenced? If we take a look into the world today, we don't see the voice of the church changing the world. We see the world changing the voice of the church. Today we see that the world has fallen even deeper into depravity of sin. Yes, the sin has been around since the fall of man. Looking into our Bible, we can read how many man has struggled since even the beginning. We can read about the past in history books and even quote, "When in Rome, do as the Romans do." The sin of Rome and Greece was horrible, to say the least. Some sins of all kind: to kill, to murder for entertainment, to exploit women in their temples as prostitutes, to sacrifice children to their gods, to have wild orgies of all sexes and anything goes. Their depravity would go so far as to, when women had babies, they would take that baby to the father of the child, and if the father didn't want it, they would put the child in a clay jar and sit him out on the porch until he died. The depravity of sin only begets sin. In the world that we're killing babies each and every day, the depravity of sin is still amok. The same spirits and the same doctrines are around today as they were then. Sin will beget sin. Whatever their deviant desires were, they did what was right in their own eyes. Even in those early days of the church, they tried to stop the voice of the church. Today, we see these same sins being exploited all over the world, and not just in one region. It is no longer in the back room or hidden from those everywhere. Sin has become very vocal and bold in its arrogance. The agenda of sin has always been to silence the voice of the church, to take salvation out of the equation, to render the church of the living God useless, old-fashioned, and weak, and not aware. Everywhere we see today, we see the voice of the church, the true church, being silenced everywhere. You see it where it's become old-fashioned and it's not new. This book no longer has truths for our lives. People are taking what they want out of this book and saying what is right and what is wrong. We see empty seats around us in our sanctuaries that someone used to fill. They have fallen away from the truth, or they've moved on. I will say this: the Bible tells us there will be a great falling away in the end of the end days. I believe that we're witnessing that in the recent years. Many are divided in ongoing debates in our world, even the church, but we must go back to the Word of God and not our own opinions on the matter. We now hear that what we call the gospel and Christian values to live by is hate speech. But I came here to tell you that real hate speech is not calling sin, sin. There is a truth and there's a lie, and the enemy is lying to those that are in the church and outside of the church. Those that are falling away into sin are dying and going to a devil's hell. If we, the church, do not go forth and speak thy truth, and we do not know this word, they will die and go to a devil's hell. There is no question. There is nothing but the truth. There's a heaven and there's a hell. There's no other place. We were built, made by the hands of God in His image for a purpose, to praise Him. But when sin snuck in, sin begets sin. Sin begets sin. And the depravity of man and his ways become more wicked as he becomes God himself. As you see around us, everywhere you see, man wants to be God. Man wants to decide what he wants and what is right in his own eyes. Not what God says in his word of truth. Many are divided in the ongoing debate in this world, even the church. But we must go back to the word of God and not be concerned about our own opinions. My opinion matters not, nor does yours when it comes to the word of God. In a world that continues to say everybody's opinion matters, everybody thinks it should matter, but no, that's not what the word says. He is the God. He's not one of the gods. He is the God, and he has one truth, and he asks us and tells us if we want to be with him and sup with him, that we must walk in that truth and that light. In a world that is dark and pulled away and drawn away from the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, those that would say that he is dead, he's not alive. I'm here to tell you, he's very much alive. We now hear that what we call the gospel and Christians, it is this hate speech everywhere. When we think about that very thing, it hurts me to say that. It hurts me to say that what we believe and what this glorious book is not for hate, but it's out of love. But the enemy of our soul has made it to where it's supposed to be hate. But God so loved the world. He gave it all. All. He didn't give a little bit. He gave it all for our souls for all eternity. He could have sat in heaven and said, well, just be on your own. You didn't choose me. You decided to follow the serpent. You decided to follow old Slewfoot. You decided to sin. Well, just go ahead and wallow in your own sin. That's what man would say, wouldn't it? But God so loved us. God so loved us. He doesn't want any to perish. We are not doing anyone justice if we do not stand for the right, not to be their judge, but to be the voice of the church of Jesus Christ, to give them the truth that will make them free. How will the gospel reach them if we do not know it or speak it? We, the church, are to display the love of Christ in his spirit, that very spirit that gives fruit of display. It should be on display. That love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance. Those fruits of the Spirit. Not get all I can get, can't all I can get. Fruit of the Spirit. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust, so we live by the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. The newest platform of hatred of true Christians is transgender and homosexuality and so on. Believing Christians do not accept or understand those who practice this lifestyle because we, being Christians, cannot bow to the sin of accepting it as it being okay when the Bible plainly preaches against it. Don't get me wrong, I don't hate those who are lost and undone in this terrible lifestyle. I want to see them delivered and set free from the bonds of the enemy lying to them. It is a lie from hell. There is no other question about it. It is a lie from hell that they are now being exploited by the enemy. Not by the church. By the enemy, they're being exploited and destroyed. However, there is a plot to prove Christians are evil, that trans and homosexuals are the ones who are under attack, not the Christians. All because of an underlying issue of sin. Anyone that does not agree with their agenda, they are out to destroy. Satan's hate of all things that are called by Christ, he is trying to destroy. The very church, it's not this building. It's you and I that believe in Christ. Through our salvation for that truth, Satan is trying to deface the church, trying to take those that he can take out of it because of not knowing the truth. You see the picture of Haman, who wanted attention and honor but did not receive it on his platform from Mordecai. There is not anything new under the sun, as Solomon wrote. The devil has been trying to get the church to either bow or be exterminated since the beginning of the church. As we read here in Esther, all the rest of the king's servants did bow to Haman, and they looked to see if Mordecai would stand or bow. The world is looking at the true church. Will it stand or bow to the agenda that we're being forced? Will it start choosing man's way or keep walking with God? Will we, church? Will we choose man's way, which is Satan's way? Or will we choose God's word? Mordecai stated that he was a Jew and would not bow, as the three Hebrew children did not bow. The church is not to bow to the sinister sin of the world's agenda, trying to push sin into the church to get its approval. But there are many that are. Churches all around the world are deciding that man knows better than God. Esther, the chosen queen, chose to speak up. Will the true church, the bride of Christ, speak up out of love the truth of his word? Each and every one of you hear my voice today. Will you be truth? Will you speak out of love, not out of hate? It's not hate speech to tell the truth. It's hate to tell the lie. The lie of the enemy to take those away from the church. The lie of the enemy to say, hey, take this fruit, for it is good. No, that is not the truth. When Mordecai did not bow, Haman was full of wrath. This sin nature is full of wrath, trying to silence and kill the church's voice, to render it ineffective. If the voice, the church has no voice, how can man be saved? Who will be brought forth to the truth? How can man be saved if we are silenced? Everywhere around, we see people being silenced because of the subjects of sin. I'm here to tell you it's going to get worse and deeper as the depravity of man continues to fall ever more deeper into sin. Haman did not want just Mordecai to die. He wanted all Jews to die. This movement of sin in our world today does not want the church's voice to be heard. It wants it dead. It doesn't want to hear from a living God. It wants to be God. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:3-4, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Have you been challenged by that very word, that God's never come back? I've heard it all of my life. I heard it just a couple of weeks ago. My brother, my very flesh and blood, we were talking about the end days, and he said, it's always been like that. No, it hasn't. Not like today. When people mention Hitler, no, it's far worse today. Hell's mouth has been widened from that lie. Each and every day, people fall away from Christ, believing the lie of the enemy and saying, oh, he's not coming back. When we say this is one step closer to saying he's not really God. When does man decide what we're going to take from that book and what we're not? When does man decide that we want to know the truth for ourselves? You see those that have studied the word. You see those that have studied the book, as they would call it. Those that have decided that they wanted all the different translations as if they would help us. But what that has done is made people wonder which one's the true translation, which has also decided that maybe none of them. Church. The liar has infiltrated the church many years ago. There's many false gospels and antichrist in many church pulpits this morning. I said it. The truth is there. In the last day, there will be many antichrists that will not believe in the true Christ. If you do not preach the whole total counsel of God, you are preaching antichrist religion. You're not preaching the Christ of the living God. He is the only. He's the beginning and the end. He's the everlasting. There is no other. There is no God like Jesus. We must pay attention. Look up. Time is drawing nigh. This latest movement of sin is now spoken at all levels. It is pushed throughout marketing, selling products to medication to keep their HIV numbers right, covering up all the fact that this very sinful lifestyle is killing them, shortening their lifespans, taking drugs to cope with life, depression that forces them into medications and other addictions. There is only one cure, and his name is Jesus. There is no other but Jesus Christ. There is no other but Jesus Christ. He is the one. He is the truth and he is the life. All are being affected by these last day onslaught of sin, but will you be infected by it? The word tells us even the very elect and the end days will fall away by not knowing the truth. You don't believe me? I challenge you to read this book. I challenge you to read this book. If you do not know that this is what you're judged by, not man's opinion, not this preacher's opinion, by God, God of all creation, will you buy the lie? Everyone has a right to love whom they want to love. Where they have to choose the sex they want to be, whether it be male or female. Will you believe that? Or you believe what God's word says? The consequences of sin or death, this must be weighed. Do we still believe that marriage was created by God and it only has between a man and a woman? Anything else is just shacking up. God never said that you just get married. He said a man and woman. He didn't say anything else. Do not let the word be twisted for what it's not. This agenda of sin will pay any amount of money to destroy the true church, as Haman was willing to do with 10,000 talents of silver, which is equivalent to over $160 million today. $160 million. We see it from every side, trying to fill our minds with Satan's agenda, expecting an easy victory to annihilate a people, the church, if you will, the voice of freedom to the lost. The purpose is to take your voice, the church, and quieten it so no one will be saved. The purpose is to make you shut your mouth because you're afraid to offend with the very truth of the gospel. It's not hate speech to tell someone how to live an everlasting life. It's not hate speech to tell someone, I love you in Jesus' name. It's not hate speech to give you the truth. Will we fall to the enemy's lies? Will we pander and wonder what the truth is? Or will we find it in that book? This wave of sin has been given the ring of the king and his approval. This president of the United States of America has given his full support for this sin narrative. This country has turned its back on God and the very reason America was founded. Your history books, if you can still find one with the truth, will tell you that the settlers came here to get out of religious persecution and to have religious freedom to serve God. Not any other so-called, but the God. Did you hear me? Not any other God, but the God. There's no Buddha. This country was built on God. Period. To serve God. There was never an option of any other God. There was never even a question if there was any other God. There is the God. Everything else, demons. Principalities of power of the air. There is no other God. Satan is just a fallen angel. He is fallen and spit out of the kingdom of God. He is wandering around waiting till the end of time for him when he is in that lake of fire. But until then, he's going to drag as many as he can to hell with him. Why? Because he hates you and I that are in the made the image of God, that he cannot stand even the presence of God, that he has so much pride in himself that he cannot stand in the presence of God and make it. But you and I, how much more wonderful it is for us to have faith and believe in a God that we have not seen. But you know as well as I do that he is very real. Not by just feeling, but the knowing him. There's no one like Jesus. Not any other so-called God, but the God. The Bible tells us Mordecai put on sackcloth and ashes and was found in front of the king's gate. He did all of this because of hearing of the decree against his people. Will we anguish over what is being done to God's church, the bride of Christ? Will we anguish in prayer for the voice of the church to be heard so many could be saved? Will we fast, seek God? Will we hold steadfast in the Spirit and walk in it? Will we? Esther offered raiment to cover or take away the sackcloth, which depicts great sorrow and regret, mourning the impending death of the voice of the church and her people. Many are falling away from the true church because of their own beliefs instead of the truth of God's word. Many in the church do not see as Esther did not see sitting in the palace. Esther wanted to cover up the mourning and make it okay, as many today in the church want this all to not affect their lives. We'll be sitting in the palace and say, no, I don't want to be affected by that. No, I could tell the truth. I could reach out, but no. Let me just cover it up. However, as with Esther, being a Jew was still under the decree of death, as we all are that are called Christians. There wants to kill the very belief in Christ, the real church, his voice. Not to trust in his written word that what the Bible calls sin is not really what it means. What is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right. This past week, I was watching a so-called LGBTQ preacher tell other preachers that the Bible didn't really mean what it says. It didn't really mean it. You're interpreting it wrong. This very person has over 3 million followers. Will we anguish for the voice of Christ to be heard? Will we speak the truth? Will we pray? Will we fast? Will we anguish in our hearts that the voice of the church is being quietened, slightly killed off? Do you feel convicted by what I'm saying? Do you feel the heaviness in this house? As God's heart is heavy with his church not being the church. There is no middle ground upon agreement. This is the last day onslaught of sin of the enemy to destroy as many as possible, to have those that do not know the truth to fall from the truth's church to accept sin. The falling away is all around us. The lie of the enemy is to separate people from the truth. What does the Bible say? John 8 and 32 tells us, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." My opinion matters no more than any other opinion. The Bible's truth is the only truth, not to be twisted out of context, but taken as the whole counsel of God. His word is everlasting to everlasting without change, nothing added or nothing taken away. Matthew 24 and 35 tells us, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Do we believe that? Do we believe the truth? As I speak, the world is having gallows built all around us, that the church may be hung by them. They are trying to entrap us so that we may perish for the lack of knowledge of knowing the truth, the word of God that we profess to live by. Do we live by that profession of faith? But what they meant for evil, God will make good, for he will meet him in the air. One day, we're looking for that city that builder and maker is the Lord. We're not looking for tomorrow here. We're looking for the Jesus Christ, the Lord and God, our Savior, the one that built a place for us to go in heaven, not to be here on this world and this earth, but on that glorious day. Who will reach for Christ? Will the voice of the church be found in you until he comes? Will we abide? How will we without a voice? I ask the question. Without a voice, how will we? This may be a taboo subject for some, but it's on all minds, as you cannot get away from the homosexual transgender agenda. It seemingly has some of the church reeling back as it moves so quickly into the limelight. Some will not speak of it because of fear of offending others. Some are speaking it from the rooftops. Some do not know what to say or how. So how do I love through this? How does Jesus get put into the right truth to those that do not believe? Knowing the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God. This sin is propagated from every possible platform. So many in Hollywood and sports stars are supporting it. The church is under attack, and what it does believe. What does the church believe? What do you believe? Is it from what someone says, or is it from what you know? What is it that we know? Around the globe, the church is deciding if it will be okay with homosexual lifestyle and transgender, which is just a gateway for the next sin of pedophilia. If you don't think I'm kidding, the truth is already on the stage. Pedophilia, everyone in this room disagrees with that, I know. But sin begets sin. As it was then, it is now. It is happening around the world, as we know. Everyone's seen the stories of Epstein, and that's one little bitty fragment of place and time. But I'm going to tell you, it's far worse than that, and they're trying to propagate this to happen. If they will let a child choose what sex they'll be, they'll certainly allow them to choose whom they'll have it with. Don't kid yourself that this agenda is done. The world says it does not care what the church says about their sin, but in reality, what they are really wanting is the church to approve and accept the sin. From the very beginning, Satan wanted to be God and has now pushed into the church, God's church, to separate the wheat from the chaff, if you will. What will we be? Will we be pushed out of the true church, not knowing the truth? My heart is heavy thinking of these things as if I pondered and prayed this week. In my opinion, I do believe we are very close to the rapture of the church. Jesus is coming after his bride without spot or wrinkle. Are you ready? Is there any doubt? I ask you, is there any doubt? It's very quiet and solemn in here. As it should be. This is a very important time. It's the day of the Lord. It's coming. We must not be duped. God will not be mocked from those so-called Christians that believe the lies of Satan. The last days tell us that there will be strong delusion. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 4. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Did you hear what I just said? Let me go back and put some clues into this for you. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away. Then the man of perdition. Where are we at? We are close. Do not be deceived with smooth-talking angel of light trying to feed you what the Bible says. Know it for yourself. Do not take opinions on eternity. Take and know the truth. It will make you free. You won't have to worry about wondering what's going on. You'll have the peace of God that passes all understanding, because you know where eternity will be spent. It will not be in hell, but it will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. The word tells us to buy the truth and sell it not. This very truth that we hold in our hands is the truth that we should buy and not sell. We should not take and buy and sell or buy the lies of the enemy. We should buy the truth of the living God. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Do not allow yourself to be filled with the lie. Satan is after our eternity, our souls, and the ones you could reach. Don't let yourself be duped in thinking that Satan doesn't want it all. He always has, since the beginning. Mordecai did not bow to Haman and his ways, and we, the church, cannot bow to the ways of the world. Because he was a Jew, he did not bow. We are Christians. We do not bow down to the ways of the world. We must be Christ-like. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap up themselves teachers, having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables or myths, if you will. The very Bible we hold so dearly, that we say that we profess our faith on, has become a fable for many, even in the church. To believe what you will and not what the Word says. You and I may be under attack as the churches all around the world. We may seem to be surrounded by the enemy everywhere we look, but God will show up at the right time. For he is faithful. We used to go by the Bible for truth. But man has replaced God's word with philosophies and philosophers. Replaced the Bible with those that have doctor in front of their name. Come on. We have decided that during the entertainment of the History Channel or whatever these other channels are, they're talk about the Bible, that is some kind of truth instead of the Bible. From men and women that have no God in them trying to tell us what the Bible tells us. In 2022, a study found a now new record amount of Americans believe that the Bible is literal word of God. In 2022, 20% now say that it is the literal word of God. 20%. In 2007, 6 years ago, it was 24%. We all know what happened between then. 4% in this study have been lost to believing that the word of God is a literal word. Now a new high, 29%, believe that the Bible is a collection of fables, legends, histories, and moral precepts recorded by man. The new high, 29%, believe it's just fables to make you feel good. You can take it or leave it if it's a fable. You can take it or leave it if it's just a myth, just to make you feel good. It's something that you don't really have to take heed to. But here's what gets me. 49% believe the Bible was inspired by God. But here's the kicker. Not all to be taken literally. 49% not to take literally. Does this alarm you? This data shows the problem in plain sight. Even 49% of professing Christians do not believe that everything in the Bible is literally the Word of God. Literally the Word of God. 49%. I again say, buy the truth and sell it not. I was appalled to look at these numbers, but the way the world is going and the things around us, that shows to be true everywhere we go. The Word tells in Proverbs 21 and 2, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Many say, I let my heart decide what I feel, but the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17 and 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It goes on to say, no one can know the heart but the Lord, as it continues to say, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Do you feel shaken? Do we? In the very last days, he also said that I would pour out my spirit. He's been pouring out his spirit ever since the day of Pentecost. But we're in the end of the end days. Evil is at every hand, but God is greater. There is no God like our God. There is no other entity in all of creation that can question the Creator. We must understand that the devil and all of his were created by God. It says he created the principalities, power of the air. But whenever Jesus rose in 3 days, he made sport of the powers and principalities of darkness. He took the keys. All authority is what the word is. When you say keys in the Bible, it's authority. He took all authority of death, hell, and the grave. There's no question what the end of this book says is truth. So therefore, everything from the beginning to the end, we should adhere to. Please stand with me right now. In these last days, what will be shaken will be shaken. You will have to make a choice about your voice in these last days. As God pulls the reins of your heart, will you be the voice of the church? Are you going to let the voice of the church remain firmly grounded in you? Will you see through the hate of the world and love anyway? How can men and women be saved if they don't see Jesus? With every eye closed and every head bowed. If you are here and lost without God, and you want the peace and salvation that only He alone offers, if you wonder if there's even the slightest question, if I died today, would I walk through those gates? Will I see Jesus? If there's any doubt in your mind, any at all, I'm going to ask you, would you raise your hand? Anybody in this house? I see your hand. Anyone else? If there's any doubt that you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't grip that pew. Don't tighten your eyes to try to avoid a loving Savior that wants to save you. Don't let that one to the left or the right of you stop you from giving your life to God. Just a little moment longer. Anyone else? Saints, continue to pray. There may be those that are here that want a voice. You want the truth of Christ's voice in you and through you. Do you want strength for these days? Do you want strength to have a voice of Christ. That should be everyone in this building. That these last days, I will serve you with everything that I am. I will allow my voice, not my will, but thy will be done. I will allow Lord Jesus Christ to speak through me to reach to those that are around me that are lost and dying and going to a devil's hell. I will reach for them, for the Lord God's hand is not shortened. They cannot reach them. It will not be me. Everyone in this building, I'm going to ask you to come around these altars. Will you allow Jesus to give you strength? Will you allow him to speak through you? Will you allow him to quicken you by his Spirit to walk ever more closely to him, that you would truly buy that truth and sell it not? That there's no question about what your belief is. It's not hate speech. It's love. It's the truth. It's the truth that makes men free. Will we preach to those that are around us? In these end of the end days, will we waver in the faith?